1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm sorry, getting used to your new technology here. I don't know if it's said in the bulletin or not, but I'm going to be preaching in a way that gives honor and thanks for Martin Luther King Jr., for Martin Luther King Day. And so think about that as you hear this scripture. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stones the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so you ready to start the sermon with something problematic and awkward? What better way to start? All right, let's play a little game. This is the nationality game, okay? I'm going to say a nationality, and you answer back out loud, if you want, the country that this nationality is associated with, all right? Irish. Chinese. Italian. American. Ah, good, there you go. All right, good. See, America is a nation of nations. That's the setting we find ourselves in. That's where we, God's people, are. We're in a nation that is different. It's kind of a new thing. Throughout history, there have been circumstances where one government is over many nations, but it's different here in America. You see, in the old Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, you would have an emperor, you'd have a government, and other nations. You had this in the USSR too, right? You had one government and different nations, and the different nationalities were in their little borders, but they were underneath the rule of the emperor. In the United States of America, it's one of, not the only, but it's one of the modern nations that is governed and is a nation of nations, where different people come together with different nationalities. All right. What is cool about that, what is helpful, what is important for us as Christians to know, is that is also the way the church is set up. The church is also a nation of nations. And so we, citizens of the United States of America, have a very special situation, a very special circumstance that gives us a possibility to witness to the gospel in a unique and powerful way that would not be there in another circumstance, in another kind of nation. We have a chance to demonstrate what 1 Peter chapter 2 is saying, that we are a chosen race, a holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. You know what's happening here, what's being described, is we is not just an ethnicity anymore. See, there was a point in salvation history, when God's people would have said, we are a royal nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and it would have referred to a nationality. It would have referred to the genetic descendants of Abraham. something happened, and now when we read this scripture, and when this scripture was written, and to the audience it was written, we are told, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and it's not genetic anymore. It's not nationality anymore. There's something new. There's something different. That's what we're gonna learn about. The scripture right before what I read talks about how the Holy Spirit has given us new birth. We've been born again. That's what our nationality really is. When we're a chosen race, we have many, many genetic races, many natural races. But how many of you know that your natural body is going to die? How many of you know that? How many of you know that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God is forever? And if you want to be in a nation that is an eternal nation, then you will become a citizen of that, not by your natural birth, but by your second birth, being born of the Spirit. And so we are given a new nationality. We, the church, are a nation of nations. It's brand new. You heard the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem. Why'd they go to Bethlehem? Well, because Joseph was of the house of David. And in the Bible, the word house can mean like place you live, but it can also mean your ancestry, the house of David. They didn't go there because they own a condo in Bethlehem, right? It's David's house, the house of David. It's a timeshare. No, they didn't go there because of that. They went there because they were of the lineage of David. That's what it means, the house of David. And what is this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 telling us? That we, like living stones, are being built into a living house. We're being built into a new house. We're part of a new house. We have a nationality now that's not our natural nationality. It's our supernatural nationality. And this house isn't finished yet. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He's the first part of the foundation. He's the first brick to go into place. And we, of every tribe, tongue, and nation, are being built into that house with Him. And it's not quite finished. Because there are some tribes, some tongues, some nationalities in that sense who have not yet heard the name of Jesus Christ. So, without an opinion poll and without a vote, God determined that this is who we are. This is the way it would be. You know, nobody called and said, do you strongly agree that we should be of the same house as people from Africa? Do you strongly disagree that we should be of the same house as people from Asia? Nope. Without asking our opinion, without a vote, it is done. It's reality. So, the question is, why aren't we enjoying it more? As something that Martin Luther King Jr. said that stuck with me from age 12 onward and has been bugging me my whole life. And I finally am in a position to maybe do something about it, but it's been bugging me my whole life. Martin Luther King said the most segregated hour in America is 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Ouch, right? This is ridiculous. We're the church. We're the original one house. We're the original nation of nations. We're the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and the people follow us. We're leaders. And what are we doing? We're saying you can take the sign away from the swimming pool, you can take the sign away from the drinking fountain, but apparently you can't take it from our hearts. Well, we know it's not quite that bad, right? None of us really want to be separated. Why aren't we enjoying it more? Well, there is a problem. I mean, there's something that needs to be done. And sloth, laziness, is a sin. It could be that laziness is part of the problem. Nonetheless, let's focus on the positive. I'm going to bring us to that at the end of the sermon too. We're going to focus on the positive. Nonetheless, this is the good news. Without an opinion poll, without a vote, God said this is who you are. This is what you have. So why aren't we enjoying it? Well, let's think realistically now. I mean, this racial division and division among groups in general is, you know, a really bad part of the human condition. Think about Rwanda. Think about South Sudan. Think about so many places where tribes and groups Think about Islam fighting each other. Think about Yemen. Think about places where the ancestry and your affiliation with groups that go way back into history, that affiliation is blood, something people fight to the death over, the memory of old hurts. I mean, this is true in places where there's, well, it's true in so many places. So what keeps that hatred alive? What keeps that fighting going, that division? I think it's the list at the beginning of the scripture. Rid yourselves of malice and slander. Let's rid yourselves of hypocrisy. Rid yourselves. Let's read it. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Real quick, what these words mean in Greek. Malice. It's the word for evil. It comes from the word for evil. So we think of malice as just having mean feelings towards someone. Well, it's wickedness. It's evil that's manifested in wanting to hurt somebody. All right? Malice. Deceit. This is the Greek word for bait, which makes me a little nervous about my favorite pastime. Rid yourselves of bait. Well, at least I can fly fish. All right. But it means when you egg somebody on, when you provoke them. Anyone with kids in the back of the car knows what this means, right? Quit touching me. Rid yourselves of bait. You know, don't be baiting, egging one another on. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the Greek word hypocrisy. Yeah, and it's actually two words that mean under juggling. Like, and it was a word that used for actors. Like, you've got something on the surface, but behind it, there's something else going on. Hypocrisy. Envy. Envy is a Greek word that means turning sour, like a sour feeling, a sour stomach. Envy is when your disposition toward someone is sour. You're not willing to let them be at peace. Envy. And slander is evil speaking. It's a Greek for evil speaking. Can you have racial prejudice? Can you have generations and generations of tribal division without malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander? It wouldn't last very long. It would pretty much be gone in a generation if those things were removed. At least in God's church, it would be gone in a generation if those things were removed. You see, without a vote, without an opinion poll, God says this is the way it is. You are one house. You are one race. You are one nation. One race by the Spirit, not by the flesh. This is how it is. Will you enjoy it is the question. And if you have hypocrisy, slander, evil speaking, you know, if you have these things, if you have malice, if you have evil in your relationships with one another, no, you won't enjoy it at all. You will have Sunday morning be the most segregated hour, and that'll be tragic. Now, but the real tragedy is not just that we're failing to enjoy a good gift that God has given us. I mean, the devil has so much fun keeping us from enjoying all that Jesus died to give us. That's a problem, but there's a greater problem, and it has to do not just with our pleasure, but with God's honor. And that is, why have we been set apart in this house? Why are we a new nation? We are a new nation to proclaim the mighty acts of God, as it says right here in verse 9. Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Declare the praises, and in another translation that says, declare the mighty acts of God. You see, we have a witness to what God has done that has an imperative connection. It has an unshakable and essential connection to us living with the reality that God has given us, whether we want it or not. Okay, let's go through what the mighty acts of God are that need to be declared. First of all, that He's the Creator. He created everything. Can we say that and be divided by race or ethnicity or history? Sure. Not such a problem. He created everything. He drew a nation to Himself, made a nation out of Abraham. Can we say that and still be divided? Sure. He gave a covenant to that nation. No problem. When the children of God broke the covenant, He sent prophets to them to pull them back. So far, so good. When they didn't obey the prophets, He sent them into exile. Okay? While they were in exile, He promised and gave them a Messiah, a Savior, who atoned for our sin on the cross. Okay? He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And He poured out the Holy Spirit in a fantastic display of power. And people spoke in tongues of every language under heaven that was gathered there. Every tribe and tongue and nation. And in this Holy Spirit, we're given new birth. And we become a new creation. Now, if we are one house and one nation by the Holy Spirit, that's where our witness gets tangled. When we refuse to live it out. You see, we can have all the empty religion in the world. And we can have religion every day of the week and meetings that never end. But if we don't have unity in the Spirit, if we don't have the Spirit present in our house, then we are not proclaiming the mighty works of God. And the first mighty work of God for us to proclaim is that I, Dana Perrier, have been brought out of darkness into marvelous light. May God help me to get rid of malice and envy and slander. May God help me to rid myself completely of those things in every arena so that I can proclaim the mighty works that He's done. Most importantly, that He has called a nation to Himself, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Not by our genetics, but not by our nature, but by supernatural means. All right, now I want to close. I don't know if I've killed enough time yet, but I'm going to close anyway. You know, closing can take a long time for a pastor, so don't feel too disappointed. I'm going to close because I want to say something that I think needs to be said. You know, we've had this fun internet craze of dog shaming, right? You've seen the little pictures on Facebook or whatever, dog shaming. And so what you get is you have this guilty dog. Heaven help us, we're thinking about getting one ourselves. You have this guilty dog sitting in front of a destroyed couch, $2,000 piece of furniture, and it's got a sign hung around its neck and it's looking at you like this. And it says, just ate sofa, you know. Just ate the sofa, or just ate the baby bottle, whatever it is, you know. Just swallowed the diamond ring. You know what dogs do. And that's dog shaming. And I think that we in America sometimes, who am I saying we? Well, there is a mixed review of Martin Luther King Day. There are mixed feelings about it because I think some see it as dog shaming day. See it as white guy shaming day. Enslaved people and oppressed them 100 years after the Emancipation Declaration. You know, here I am. Let's remember that. If my anniversary every year was Katie sitting down with me and saying, well, let's review what you've done wrong so far. It's been 22 years now. The list is getting better. Would I look forward to it? No, I wouldn't. Hey, you know what? This Martin Luther King Day, this is a truth for you. This is in the Bible. This is in the Constitution. This is the truth for you. You can claim this and be at ease with it. Martin Luther King Day is not a day of shaming. It's a day of celebrating America becoming more American. It's a day that America became more American because we are a nation of nations. I want to read to you a poem that you know, if I have it. So great, I got it. This is called The New Colossus, and it's by Emma Lazarus. Maybe you'll recognize this. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs, astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-brighted harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. When America decided that it's a nation of nations, and it's not going to oppress a nationality, but it's going to celebrate the multitude of its nationalities, America didn't decide to shame anybody. They decided to celebrate being American. They decided to celebrate liberty. So don't feel ashamed on Martin Luther King Day. Don't worry that people want you to feel ashamed. It's a day of liberty. It's a day of celebration. And you, God's house, have the clearest and brightest message of this truth, because it's a truth that comes from you first. You're God's house built with living stones of every tribe and tongue and nation. You have no need to be ashamed, no need to be afraid. And may God help us all to celebrate and enjoy what He's decided to give us without a poll or a vote. And may our witness in this year and in the years to come, in this time and place that we find ourselves in, may our witness become stronger and clearer than it's ever been. Amen.